Blog Talk Radio.
Moment of silence for the champions, for those who make going hard a lifestyle. Never wait for nothing, gotta get it right now. I'm in the spotlight when they turn the lights down. Only a champ swing the hardest in the 12th round. I love the fourth quarter, I love the ninth inning, I love game seven. Bring on the competition, cause in my heart can't nobody do it better. Can't slow me down, won't stop me, never. I'm so cash clay, I'm Tyson in the prime. You little league with, I'm Barry Bonds with mine. I beat the buzzer, baby, my stroke is hole in one.
It is Sim Champions Radio, Q and Who, Schmurtish Money Show, joined by Mr. CP, back and better than ever. What's good, CP?
How you doing, Quasi? What's up, man? What's going on, CFL?
I hope I don't sound like I'm in the bathroom this time. Tonight we are going to talk about, we are going to unveil the preseason power rankings for week one, talk about the draft a little bit. Do some predictions on our game of the week, opening game of the season, Giants and Seahawks. And too early to predict Super Bowl matchup and winners as well later on. We should take this up all the way to the 10 o'clock kickoff, hopefully, between Cody and rookies. Little shout out to Cody. Congratulations. He is the second two-time defending champion of the CFL. First person to do that was Crazy D, 133 in the first two seasons with the Bengals, and as we all know, he is no longer here. And I also found it interesting how he was in the league as the Saints before I switched to him, and when I kicked him out of the league, he never even said a single word to me, so he must have just seen it coming or did not give a shit, kind of like a couple other people here.
There's no care. No, how do you win all those games, all those championships, and just have no care in the world? It's just like, it's just easy for them. Not in this matter.
Right. Yep. All right, well, shout out to everybody so far that's been keeping up, doing more write-ups, more articles lately. I'm hoping to release power rankings at least every 4 weeks of the season, hopefully sooner than that. And I'm going to be putting together another Sim magazine with your boy, hopefully in the next week or two. Probably after the week four or something like that. Maybe after week two. One more thing, by the way, xboxclips.com is linked with the site now. So as far as posting highlights from a game or a whole game DVR highlight video, all you got to do is go to xboxclips.com/yourgamertag, click on the video you want, copy the URL up top and paste it into the thread, and it'll embed it right away for you. So that's like a really easy way to post highlight videos or game clips to your write-up or just to a top plays of the week thread or whatever, if we do that, which I think we should be doing that now. It should be more than two teams posting highlights. It literally takes 2 seconds. You say Xbox, record that, and then you copy and paste it in after the game.
Yeah, I agree. Doing the highlights and stuff is a lot easier than it has been in the past Maddens. And, you know, just with Xbox One and the way the site is set up, it makes things a lot easier and a lot less troublesome. And I know I've been gone for a minute, so I got a lot of things coming back, the rookies, the top rookies. I'm also going to do something that I should have done for the offseason, but, you know, now the offseason is over, I want to be doing, you know, top five positions in the league, not just based on ratings, just based on a combination of ratings and, you know, things they've accomplished thus far into the CFL, into the two seasons we've played so far. But that's pretty much it. Just
let's go ahead and let's jump into these top five teams in the CFL draft this year. In my preference, personally, I've got one through five, I guess it's in order. I would have the Packers at number one with that first round cheese, with those picks from those teams like the Vikings, who just stopped playing after like 3 weeks, and the Jaguars, who were just awful, although he turned it on late and won like four games in a row to close the season. So that was good. But with that one, Lefty definitely hit on everything. It's one thing to have all those good picks, but it's another to hit on him. He hit with the Dietrich Beecham with his first pick, I believe, at seven. He is a freaking monster outside linebacker for his 3-4. He'll step right in and replace Julius Peppers, who retired. Then he hit with Rodriguez Burrell, the best wide receiver in the draft, possibly one of the best that we've had in a draft period. And then he got KC Harrington, who's a nice athletic cover corner. He's got like 85 man, 88 zone, and 80 press, so he's definitely good. And then he rounded it out in the second and third round, I believe, with Gary Murphy, middle linebacker. He's already very good in coverage, but needs some boosted awareness. And then quick development, defensive end, Davian Travis, who's another good fit for that defense. That's not even all the picks. I think that was the top five or top four players I had from him.
He's also got like two good athletic running backs to spell Slacy. He's also got a starting tight end, pass catching tight end, Donnie Craig, like 82 overall. I mean, he just killed it.
After that, I had the Lions, who definitely struck right on with positions of need. He picked up the best player in the draft, left tackle Dakota Riley. I think he comes in as like an 87 overall. And then he followed that up with center Jonte Goodwin, who was probably the second best center in the draft. But they'll both start right away. That was two huge pickups after they had an amazing draft last season, picking up some more linebackers, a cornerback, and a slot receiver for their offense. So the Lions should be on the up and up this year, especially with the good, solid user and silent striker.
No real surprise here, but they pretty much just drafted a need, and they needed a lot of offensive line help. They got a few other positions here and there, but they went heavy on offensive line. It's a team that, you know, they might be missing their opportunity. You know, Matt Stafford doesn't seem to look like he's going to be a starter. Megatron is over 30. Reggie Bush is over 30. So I guess they're looking at it now like, we need to move now before some of these players are, you know, washed up.
Right, and I had something to add to that. I forget now. Oh, they have like, I think the team's got like 20 rookies on their roster or something crazy. I was looking on Daddy Leagues, like 15 rookies. They signed Wes Ray, that top undrafted left tackle also. But maybe he's looking at him as a developmental for right tackle. After that, I believe I had the Cardinals after that, which was a surprise as AWOL just came back like he does. He went ahead and drafted a shocker. It was Deshante Lewis at the third pick, a center. But that dude's a beast. He's got like high 80s and 90 everything. He's going to start right away. He also drafted Amari Richards, who was a quick development, one of the top players overall in the whole draft. He's going to be starting that strong safety opposite Honey Badger. They also picked Ephraim Greer, another quick development cornerback, who will play the nickel, I'm assuming. So now you got Cromarty, Pat Peterson, Greer, and then you got Richards and Honey Badger in the back. So, that's a ferocious defense. Hopefully he actually sticks around and plays, which seems to be the same thing over and over. But Cardinals could be pushing the Seahawks with another comparable defense.
Yeah, Amari Richards is actually someone who I was really interested in getting in the draft. And he actually fits the mold of what we come to know as a secondary player by the Cardinals. Really athletic, can cover, can play zone. I mean, he's not as athletic as speed-wise as far as, well, not really comparable to Cromarty and, I mean, Patrick Peterson and Cromarty and, you know, Honey Badger, but he's just as good zone-wise and, you know, man-to-man-wise as they were when they were starting off. So it's another really good addition. But I think the question here is, obviously, like you alluded to with AWOL, you know, his commitment to playing, and Scott Alexander, the quarterback, can he play and be,
yeah, Alexander and, you know, and Logan
competitive in a really, really good division?
Yeah. That division's been down, though, lately. I think Due went 8-8 last year, but he also didn't play like his last four games and had a couple AP wins. So, and D11 was terrible last year, so I don't know about that division.
I don't know, but I feel like all of those teams, even though they may have bad divisions, they just have so much good talent. They're just so rich in talent that they can,
right,
you know, just decide that they're going to play right and they're going to get this stuff together and they can be really, really good teams.
True. Then at four, I had myself with the Saints. We picked up Brand Boyce, our new number one receiver in the first round, as well as Larry Sturdivant, who was the second best player in the draft rating-wise, I believe. Comes with an 88-man end zone. He's a beast. Then I drafted three really good D linemen. Amirial Drummond is probably going to end up starting. It was a pretty good draft all around. And then fifth, I had the Bills, who drafted five of the top 50 overall rated rookies. This is all according to the Daddy Leagues. They picked up strong safety Darian Britt, cornerback Matt Phillip, tight end Hunter Whitey Poole, and then a D tackle I really like who actually has slow development, Stephon Hunter, and superstar defensive end Rob Hudson, who disappeared after the scouting combine started in week one when Carver got me his physicals. So with that draft, I mean, their front seven is even stronger with that D tackle and DN. They filled a void with the tight end, which is good for them. And got a couple more playmakers to develop in the secondary. Bills did really well, too.
And just to add an extra team to think about, I like what the Redskins did in their draft. They added, you know, two. They already have, I think that's a team that's really focused on getting good ownership. They already have a lot of good pieces, but they added 2 6'6", 6'7" pass-catching tight ends. One of them is going to start, D'Ambrose Hobbs, really athletic, good pass-catching tight end. They got a rookie right tackle starting that has really good attributes as far as run blocking. And Pierre Douglas was going to be starting as number one corner. And he's coming into a loaded secondary, like you said earlier, with Justin Beckwith and Kyrie McNeil, who they drafted last year, who are really, really, really talented safeties. So I like Pierre Douglas.
Yeah.
Underrated team had a good draft.
Yeah, they got like two star tight ends, I think, which is, and then they have Reed also in there. Other drafts that I like, the Browns, they picked up Jaquise Jennings, Joey Lopez, among others. 49ers with L. Peppers, superstar. I think he's the third overall rated player, along with Muhsin Glenn, who's a very solid route runner, almost like Anquan Boldin, a little shorter. Another team that did really well, I think, was the Cowboys. I believe he picked up four guys in the top 50 overall. Headlined by Lashae Dickerson, a D-tackle who will replace Henry Melton. Two corners, Bobby Estes and Shakir Klein. He also had, I think he had another great corner he drafted last year in the first round or second round. And then he also has superstar development, Rich Knight, at D-end. And the last team, I thought, I mean, every team that scouted and made a big board to go with the combine did a pretty good job drafting. But I really like also what the Broncos got with Shamon Holland, the best safety in the draft. He already has 77 man and 85 zone. He was one of the top five overall players in the draft as well to help shore up an already good team, see if UD can get it together this year.
And let's just not forget about, you know, Max Castile and Bashaud Vereen and Jabba Carter, three rookies for the Eagles that will be making huge contributions this season.
Is Carter a D lineman?
D lineman, 6'6", 330.
Yeah, I had him on my board. What about those twins, though?
The Savoy twins, it's hard for them to get off the field and get onto the field. I mean, you know, every year I want to try to get them in the mix, but isn't it? I guess the only thing that's cool for them right now is I both play them at the same time in preseason, or I have been playing them. So they both been on the same time, on the field at the same time this past preseason. So they've been doing things.
Hey, did Darren Sproles retire and then come back, or did he not retire? He just got cut.
Yeah, he retired and came back.
Because that's weird. In the same offseason. That was weird. Oh, man. All right, we'll go ahead and let's shoot into these bottom 16 of the power rankings. to start at 32. This is a good roster. It's a good team. It'd be a fun team to play with, especially at that athletic freak show of a first round that they had last season. But at 32, we have the Minnesota Autopilot Vikings by virtue of not playing games, which is hopefully about to change. But I've said that two straight years, so this is the last chance. It'd be a lot easier if I had somebody who was a lock to be a regular user right off the jump, but we'll see what Adel does this year. He assured me again that he was going to play, so we'll see what happens with that. At 31, we have Andrew Wierick and the Miami Dolphins, who are on the same road right now. For some reason, just stopped playing the last few weeks of last season after he got all hyped that he figured out how to pass the ball and started playing better in the middle of last season.
And just to add a little footnote, I know a lot of people are, you know, saying, you know, let's just finish it, end it, you know, cut your losses. But just to speak up, you know, on behalf of these two gentlemen, these are guys that have been playing in the CFL since I came into the CFL. I remember when I was in the AFC East with D11 and Andrew when he was to the Dolphins. And I remember when Adelfish was winning two games a year back in Madden 13. So I feel like I agree. Let's give these guys all every opportunity to, you know, handle whatever they got to handle. You know, like everyone knows, everyone has, you know, situations and things they got to deal with. But I feel like I agree with you. Let's give these guys every opportunity to get everything together and, you know, come back to the league. So I'm on board.
Yeah. At 30, we have the Kansas City Chiefs, who are in rebuild mode still. Hopefully, see if he's got the playmakers he needs on offense. They did a good job drafting Chris Glass in the first round. Superstar quarterback, best quarterback in the draft. Great pick by the Chiefs. Does a lot of the same things already that Alex Smith did at the best of his days, but comes with, I think, a 96 throw power as opposed to Smith, who probably has like an 85 throw power. So that was a huge get for the Chiefs.
Good team. You have to see if this owner, how he can play and if he can compete in a really good division with the Chargers and the Broncos. So we'll see how that goes. He has a good quarterback, finally. No receivers, but a good quarterback. And you got Jamal Charles. And, you know, actually, didn't they draft a receiver in the top two, I think, last year? It was like Folo Cross, actually, I think. I don't know how he's playing, but, you know, it seems like there's talent there in KC, especially on defense. So they should be able to put together if he can play well.
Another issue with him, I think, was play calling, mixing up play calling. Last year, a couple people had said, so we'll see what happens there. At 29, we have the loaded defense that is the Arizona Cardinals and AWOL. Plenty of question marks on offense for this team at quarterback and offensive line as they keep rebuilding. And another mainstay in the league who claims he's back, showed up for the draft, was there for the whole draft. Doesn't play preseason games, so we'll see here now in the next 3 days if he's for real.
A team that could compete right now, as soon as the season starts, and at 10 o'clock, this team could be in the Super Bowl. So it's all up to AWOL and whatever he can decide to do.
At 28, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers and Coach LaPointe. This team is absolutely loaded everywhere other than the secondary, which is a main question mark and will remain a question mark all year. They don't have the personnel to match up, but that front seven is absolutely ridiculous, and their playmakers on offense are outstanding. They acquired Geno Smith to try and stopgap fill that quarterback position so they could go elsewhere in the draft. I think they took a D lineman in the first round. They got the talent to compete. Now it's up to the user to make it happen with the competing with the Ravens and Browns in that division.
I would say other than the 49ers, the Ravens, and maybe the Rams, in the Bills, I like this front seven. Pound for pound with any other team in the league, They just have freak athletes just all over that front seven. But they have quarterback issues, yep. and they are in one of the best divisions in the CFL right now. So I think
Correct.
It's going to take a whole lot for them to put it together. And, you know, never know, Endzone, he's been around. Endzone, I forget his other name. But so he's been – I feel like he's been in and out. So this could be another team that has ownership issues or, you know, ownership that may not be, you know, balanced or all the way together.
At 26, we have the Washington Redskins, who were 0-16 last year. The new owner, old owner of the Packers, last Madden, G-Eazy, had a great draft for needs. They still have a pretty terrible offensive line from what I've seen. Their left guard, and the new right tackle they have who's young and developing. It's going to be a lot of pressure on Robert Griffin. Other than that, the team is pretty good, pretty solid all around, especially with that first pick, Pierce Douglas, to give them a true number one cornerback. The Redskins could compete in the NFC East and make it a much more interesting division this year than it was last year.
No shots fired on that last remark by you, but this is a team that's been doing really well through the draft. I can't remember the situation last year. I believe both of these safeties that are really, really good were computer pick safeties, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But that's neither here nor there. They have talent. Robert Griffin is still good. Alfred Morris is obviously really good. You still got Deshaun and Pierre. You got the two safeties. You got Arakpo. You got Kerrigan. You got Jordan Reed and the two tight ends they just drafted. This is a talented roster. So, and again, just it seems to be the theme with the bottom half of the Power 16, I mean the Power 32, is all ownership issues. And could you see this owner winning a playoff game or becoming one of the regular users that seem to win 10 games every year? Seems to be the only question mark with this team.
Right. At 25, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Went ahead and picked a quarterback they think is the QB of the future, Keyshawn Mack. And I broke his arm last night. He is out for like 6 to 8 weeks. I don't remember which. But if you're going to come in here against my defense with the quarterback on a read option and not slide, that's the result you're going to get. So he's going to have to roll with probably Mike Glennon. And it's his last chance to prove he could be a franchise quarterback. I do like what Spider does. It's a lot of dink and dunk passing, which can come back to haunt him. But he's a pretty solid user all around on both ends of the field. And that defensive line cheese, which is really getting on my nerves, that automatic block shed tackle shit when you're a defensive lineman against a run, man. But, yeah, he's a solid user.
Free nipper. Sorry, no free nipper. This is a team that's a few players away. You know, obviously they got Mike Evans, the Duggernaut, new quarterback. You know, maybe they need some help at corner, maybe. But other than that, it's just consistency with the team, competing in the division, winning games in the division, and just, you know, keeping around until you can make some noise to move into the playoffs. But this roster is really talented. It's a team I wouldn't mind having. There's a lot of freaks defensively that's just all over the field.
Yeah. At 24, we have Mitch and the Tennessee Titans, who continue to underwhelm in the CFL this year. This season, in the offseason, they went into the draft anointing Zach Mettenberger as the starting quarterback, then went on to draft a quarterback two or three straight picks, and they have settled on Peter McClam, the ugliest name in football, as their starting quarterback. It's actually not terrible. Mettenberger has better ratings, but we'll see what Mitch can do offensively this year. See if he can compete in this soft AFC South.
Mitch just has to stick to a quarterback, find a quarterback he likes, don't throw five interceptions with them, and just stick with him. And he also needs to free Bishop Sankey. He does that, this is a division that pretty much is really open. And, you know, if he does that, he can find a soul winning it possibly.
At 23, we have the Detroit Lions, silent striker. Good news, solid news to the CFL. I mean, this team is freaking loaded. I would like to think that the Lions can be pushing for a 500 or above record and make this NFC North even more competitive with the Bears and the Packers. And hopefully the Vikings will see. But this could be a three-team race there for wild cards and division titles.
I don't think, as good as this Lions roster is, and I feel like we say this every preseason, you know, Q and radio, any radio show that I hear in the CFL, it's the same thing is stated. This team is so good, this roster is so loaded. But I don't think they've ever won 10 games in the CFL under any user ever. If I'm, you know, correct me if I'm mistaken, I don't think this team has ever won 10 games with any team, with any user, from Preacher Kid to Jay to now Spider. So I don't know about this team.
I know a lot of people who wanted to take them next year, but like Cody, but I think he's taking the Steelers. That is a very intriguing team to use her as, though. At 22, I have Baby Prop and the New York Jets. I don't know why. I have no explanation why he's here, but he's here. And he's back in the league, and we'll see how long that lasts. And we'll see how long it lasts for him not typing negative things in the shout box after one little tiny thing doesn't go his way.
Why, oh, why did Prop let Chris Ivory go to New York? Why? I feel like Chris Ivory and Prop were like a match made in heaven. But about his team, I mean, they have potentially elite weapons on offense. Percy Harvin, Dennis Lewis, Eric Decker, who's good. Jason Morrow, who's really good. Question marks at quarterback. And obviously, Prop as the owner, can he keep it together? He's always played decent defense. Can he play decent enough on offense and not turn the ball over like he's been prone to doing his Madden career? And, you know, can he finally compete in the AFC East?
Yeah, I think that was my notes for the actual power rankings that it will be posted after the show. The offense is actually loaded with talent now. The problem is the O-line's aged so much from elite status that they are, I mean, it's not like they were back when Rex Ryan first started. So now they have a quarterback issue and an O-line issue, and they don't have a playmaker issue anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what they do this year. At 21, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who won either three or four in a row to end the season last year. They acquire Brandon Marshall, who's very slow, but he does have a lot of skill. I think everything's pretty much a 99 for him, receiving attribute-wise. And for some reason, they spent a bunch of money on Nick Foles when they already had Blake Bortles, and that was the reason he wanted the Jaguars. It's not a quarterback issue, it's a user issue, but we'll see if he can string together some more wins and get back to playing like he did when he had freaking Tim Tebow at quarterback with the Jags in Madden 13.
And that seems like a century ago, but it's really hard to beat the Jags. It's hard to get taken serious when you're at the Jags. I mean, it even took Cody going back-to-back championships. It took him 2 to 3 years in Madden 25 to get taken serious. But, you know, CV makes big splashes in free agency, and it's really only going to take winning to get people to stop questioning his motives with a lot of his personnel decisions.
True. At 20, it is the Philadelphia Eagles, partially by virtue of you going MIA during the season and their record being 5-11, and also I thought you missed a lot of talent. Now the defensive line seemed kind of soft. Secondary seemed kind of soft outside of Mr. Jenkins and losing Sproles. The O-line's aging. Traded away to center. But we'll see how the season goes. Eagles could be on the rise again like they did season 6.
You know,
as long as your quarterbacks
don't
get hurt like season 6.
True. But not to talk too much about myself, but clearly I missed the whole last season, majority of the last season. I played maybe 6 games, I remember, I think I played. But, you know, 3-4 defense is much improved, and offense is under new guidance with the electric Max Castillo or Costello for you Americans.
Redneck Americans, you mean? let's see, where are we at? We will go to 19 D11 King, St. Louis Rams. In season 6, this was a very good team, good defense, made the playoffs, I believe, and then went Schottenheimer again. Now Terrell Pryor's on the bench. They draft a quarterback who actually is much better than Pryor. I think Pryor played way above his head the first season because I looked at his accuracy ratings and they're all trash in like the low 70s and 60s. I thought it was all in the 70s and 80s. So Trent Webb steps in. He's pretty solid quarterback. This 5'11" shit that the game generates at quarterback is killing me, though. Probably got like 4 or 5'11" quarterbacks in the league starting now, but we'll see if the Rams can get back to playing how they did in season 1 or season 6, I should say.
Quarterback issues, wide receivers don't get open. Now you're throwing in a rookie quarterback, but. Like I said, along the trend with the rest of these NFC West teams, they have really good talent. So maybe good decision making by Webb and getting back to high play with Terrell Pryor the first year, you know, dink and dunk, taking early stuff, letting Trey Mason work, Trey Mason in the screen game, you know, kind of, you know, not trying to walk the ball down the field, you know, trying to get explosive plays and put the ball in the playmaker's hands. Maybe, you know, he can play more like that offensively, and his defense continue to play as good as it's been playing, and he can have some success this year.
At 18, we have the Oakland Raiders. This team is not devoid of talent as they are in real life historically. But this hashtag Karifi shit and all that is cute and all, but stop throwing the ball to the other team. Kenny did that in the first portion of the season, went like 4-0. 4-win club, all that cute shit, and then just went back to Kenny mode and threw like 40 picks. So if Kenny can play like he did, even close to how he did in the first few weeks, the dude can win football games in the CFL, but it's a matter of just going out and doing it. And the same thing goes now for our 17th team to round out the bottom 16, the Dallas Cowboys. Trayshon Elmore is back, and we need to see Elmo keep the ball on his side of the field. And I mean, this dude is just a freak. I think everybody in the league would love to have him as their quarterback.
I wish I had Elmo. But I think as great as Elmo is, I think he's under the wrong owner. I don't think his talents and his skill set fit what Smash does great. I think Smash would be better equipped with a more pocket passer, an accurate quarterback who can just make quick reads. Cause he likes to run the ball. He plays exactly how I imagine like the Pittsburgh Steelers playing. Like he runs the ball, play action. It does run the ball. Good defense, close games, and I think that's his game. I don't think his game is the type of game that would better suit Elmore. Opened up, you know, spread sets. I don't think that's his wheelhouse, so I think they're going to continue to struggle. I just think it's a bad fit, unfortunately.
That's true. He does talk a lot about what playbooks to change to and all that, so that is very true. But, I mean, you don't necessarily have to play that way with a running quarterback. You can kind of make them forget about it when you don't run a read option and all that, and then just get those coverage plays where nothing's open and take off running, get 10, 15, 20 yards. Because, I mean, he has gotten hurt. Like, he got hurt in the first season against me in the first game. Running read option, keeping the ball, not getting down. It's very dangerous with these quarterbacks. All right. Tonight's game of the week, opening kickoff, is going to pit the NFC Championship game, Seahawks and Giants. Defending Super Bowl champion Giants, Kodiak, 2 in a row. Going for a 3-peat. Never been done before. My keys to this game is straight up the running games. Marshawn Lynch against the Giants front 7 and keeping the football. Actually, this wasn't a repeat. I don't think it was. No, it was Doctor Strange against Cody. Anyways. And then on the other side of the football, you got the Giants rushing attack versus that Seahawks front seven, led by newly acquired Chris Ivory, replacing Rashad Jennings, who his speed just went out the window. Even last year, I think he had like 82 speed, but he still stuck with him. But now he's got Ivory, who's an absolute stud in this game. Those are my keys. It's all about the running game tonight with those two teams.
And to get in on this matchup, but before I get on this, I have a little rant to go on about the Giants and Cody, but I'll save that and I'll stick to the breakdown of the game. But I think the breakdown of the game is simple for my keys for Seattle. I think it's Shannon Miner and Bobby Wagner up the middle versus Chris Ivory. I think if you make the Giants and Cody one-dimensional, Nassib will turn it over. Even in the games he wins, he turns it over. So if you stay patient on offense, Nassib will move the ball. Let him move the ball because he's going to move the ball. He's good passing-wise. And if you let him move the ball, but take advantage of your turnovers and scoring off the turnovers, you'll have put yourself in the opportunity to win. And
that was
for the Giants. But just for the Giants, I think clearly you want to pound Chris Ivory. Now you got a real legit between the tackle runner. Pound Chris Ivory. Stop the run game. And he has two really, really, really good press corners. Let them stop the lack of weapons that the Seahawks have.
All right, let's jump back in and finish out this top 16 at the power rankings for week one, season 8. Let's get the Schmurda on. All right. At 16, we have Crow and the Houston Texans. Started the season horrible. Everything in the world was going against them. They came back, finished strong, finished at 7-9. For some reason, he was trying to develop Savage, who has comparable ratings with Mallett, but Mallett's a better guy. Savage got hurt. It's Mallett's show now. The team is built to win. I don't know what the secondary is looking like. I know last year was pretty pathetic what he had to work with back there, and I don't remember him addressing that in the offseason, so... But, I mean, it's that AFC South, dude. I mean, anything could happen in there. Been an 8-8 team and a 9-7 team winning the division the last 2 years. So you don't have to play flawless football to compete in that division by any means.
Yeah, Crow's a bit up in the air. I know he tried to do some, make some moves this offseason, specifically during the draft, and none of it really panned out. I know we had a deal that never really panned out, never materialized. And, you know, it would have been nice to see his team get, you know, one of the many decent quarterbacks that seem to have gone in this year's draft. But realistically, I think it's all about turnovers and him turning the ball over on offense and why Clowney continue to create pressure. And I think he could compete. And like you said, a division that, you know, you win 9 to 10 games, you're in the mix.
It's still a pretty bad secondary. Jonathan Joseph is your number one corner still, and his speed cannot be very good at all anymore. That's still 87. He's got a number four corner that has 79 speed. Corey Webster still on the roster in the Taki Posey. I mean, your coverages drop off the face of the earth after the top corner. Goes down to 85 man, 83 man, 73 man, 77 man. He's got a rookie with 85 man. And Jorian Mincy. But secondary is definitely the big issue on that team.
That's not good, because I remember when I played them, I'm like, I mean, he moves the ball really well on offense. I'm like, how am I getting just dotted up? I'm like, who are these guys that Ryan Mallett is literally, I think he had like 30 in the first half when we played, you know, in the first season. And I didn't understand what was going on. So, I mean, it seems like all those AFC South games are like that.
All right, 15, we've got the Atlanta Falcons and Yarbor. They were, they beat me. We're sitting at 7-5 or something like that last season, and then went on and lost their last four in a row. This season, Roddy White finally dropped off the face of the earth with his speed, so he was cut. And he went ahead and replaced him with a couple of wide receivers. He made a trade with you with the Eagles to acquire a starting center to shore that up. kill two birds with one stone, and I think he ended up drafting three receivers in total, so they got a lot of depth at that position and a couple promising stars as well to replace Roddy, and then Hester's also gone as he no longer has that blazing speed. But the issue still remains on that defensive side of the ball for them, but they do seem to play above and beyond their capabilities in that front seven.
As you said, defense is pretty much the key. You have Roddy White. You have an elite receiver. Matt Ryan is still comparable. And this is the trade. This trade I made for Jason Kelce, a starting center who is day one the best player on his team overall-wise. This trade was done, in essence, pretty much straight up, Jason Kelce for Max Castillo. And so we'll see how that pans out. But the key for this team is early wins in the tough NFC South that got two teams to the playoffs last year. You know, he has to get early wins in the division to give himself a chance later in the season.
All right, at 4-2, you got the Indianapolis Colts, who won a bunch of close games in the early portion of the season and kind of faded in the middle of the season and balanced it all out with an 8-8 record to win their division. And they were eliminated quickly in the playoffs. They made a good trade acquiring Junior Gallette. Now they got a really, really nasty pass rush on both sides with Mathis and Gallette. Interested to see if he's going to run the 3-4 still or go to a 4-3 with them on DN. It comes down to turnovers with him. I mean, he finished 8-8 still, but Luck probably have almost 40 turnovers. Other than that, I don't have anything else on the Colts.
Yeah, this is one of those teams that I just have no clue about in a division that I have no clue about. I mean, just listen to the names on this team. Wes Welker, Trent Richardson, Sam Bradford, Mario Manningham, Darnell Dockett, A.J. Hawk, Kerry Williams, Junior Gallette. I mean, clearly they're not shy with spending money, but can they put it together and go back-to-back winning the division? We'll see what happens.
These Patriots, though, Jesus. 45-7. Oh, shit. All right. At 13, we got the San Francisco 49ers. They've had a lot of turnover in the roster, but not in a bad way. They got a bunch of young studs the last two drafts. So now we'll see, you know, if they can compete for an entire season and get back up to the top of the NFC West and, you know, get that division back to being the so-called NFC best that they had it at in Madden 25, because this year has been nowhere close to that in our first two seasons of Madden 15. That offense has just been fucking abysmal for the talent that they've had to work with. That's the big thing that's holding them back. The defense, and Dude's defense is still great. Personnel is great. The execution is great, but on offense, they just like, I don't know. They just get bottled up on offense very easily.
This is the Niners have been falling off for a while now, but they have so much talent and they have so much. They've been so consistent drafting that you always feel like they could just turn it on at any moment. They lead the CFL. I think they have 90 overall players rated 90 overall. And they have guys like Crabtree and Stevie Johnson, who at one point were 90 overall players, but they have fallen off. So they're always going to be in the mix. You know, you always have to watch out for them to knock off 10 wins and roll up 11, 12, 13 wins like they did, you know, way back when and, you know, in past Maddens. You always have to keep your eyes open for them because they have so much talent and they draft pretty well. So they're always going to be in the mix, just talent-wise. They're always going to be able to win any game they step onto the field.
At 11, I have myself with the New Orleans Saints. At 10, we've got the Chicago Bears. What speak you? I think he was 12-14-2 or something first season. Last season went 10-6, struggled out of the gates with turnovers. They put up a shitload of points on a board. They had a massive points for, points against margin, even with the 10-6 record. I think it was the best in the league, one of the best offenses in the league, but the Bears are going to be right up there again competing with the Packers. I expect them to be much more consistent out of the gates this season than they did last.
I don't really agree with that. I don't know. I think the defense is still a question mark. I think their offense might have a little bit more pop with Greg Tillman stepping in as a number two. They have a really, really explosive rookie. I think it's Deadman, I believe. So even though they lose Marshall, you still have Alshon Jeffery sliding over to the number one spot. Tillman, who's really good, sliding to number two. I think they'll be more explosive offensively, but and obviously Matt Forte, speak uses Matt Forte excellently. But I think defensively they'll be really, really bad.
At number nine, we've got Currency King and the Chargers. They definitely lived up to his name, as he wrote in his article for the offseason, spent a shitload of money on some playmakers for their offense. Phillip Rivers' last stand as a quarterback. They draft Carl Vaughn, who gets hurt in the preseason. I think that they could run away with the AFC West again this year if the Broncos don't step it up and Kenny doesn't play more consistently throughout the year. But we'll see if the Chargers can actually push it to that next level and get through in the playoffs into the championship games.
I haven't really connected much with this Chargers team. Like, you know, this is a team they've been in the mix now for the past 2 years. And I was speaking with Currency, you know, during the draft, actually. And he's feeling like it's now or never for his team. So that's primarily the reason they went all in this offseason, Justin Blackmon, LeGarrette Blunt. He feels like the time is now, you know, and they're a one player away or a play away from, you know, doing what Cody did and, you know, putting the trophy up.
All right, at number eight, we got the Cleveland Browns and Morgan. Loaded roster, good user, just can't get over the hump in the playoffs every year. There's not much more to say about. I mean, there's not much more to say about any of the teams coming up. If we could just let's see how much time we got. We got 12 minutes of the show. So yeah, you got the Browns at eight.
And finally, he has competition for his division. But I think from top to bottom, the Browns have one of the most complete rosters in the CFL, and they've been knocking on the door the past few years. You know, kind of similar to the Chargers. We'll see if they can, you know, close the deal and get into the postseason. You know, go far into the postseason, further into the postseason this time around, and get into the big game.
By the way, Morgan, what's good with that Semper, bro? It just came in and said one thing and left. All right. At number seven, we got the Green Bay Packers in a loaded, loaded, loaded top 10. Got the Packers at seven. Had another great year last year, loaded defense. They go ahead and replace Julius Peppers, as I mentioned, with the rookie outside linebacker. They add Rodriguez Burrell to the offense, which just makes it that much stronger. The offense this year for him in this Madden hasn't been as strong as 13-25, but the defense has been pretty much the best in the CFL the last couple of years. If the offense can get close to where the defense is performing, he's going to go to a Super Bowl again this year, but time will tell with that. Jordy Nelson just forgetting how to run kind of hurt him, I think. Even though his route running was still good, he could get open on slants. I think that hurt a lot more than expected.
If you ever want to hear what the meaning of loaded means, I mean, you want to talk about depth, we got Sam Shields and Casey Hayward already. Just give us Casey Harrington, 80 overall, 85-plus man and zone coverage. You know, we got Cobb and Jordy Nelson. Just give us the best receiver in the draft. You know, the Packers will be in it for the long haul, for the duration of the CFL. And, you know, this year, again, they'll be in the mix, you know, competing for the Super Bowl.
At 6-5, we have two AFC East teams, the Patriots at 6, the Bills at 5. Staples of consistency in the league. The Bills get the leg up now. They finally took the throne from the Patriots. Interesting with the New England, they succeeded so well last year, even with Shane Vereen and Jimmy Garoppolo as their two main components to the offense. Vereen definitely tore it up last year. The Bills had a good offseason, shoring up the position of need with Whitey at tight end. And I think the Bills might be ready to take it to that next step after the choke job and the Madden, if you want to say it was Madden with the onside kick and all that, but the choke job in the playoffs last year against the Browns. We'll see if he can take it to the next level, get to that championship game this year.
The defense is very good, and I think Pat's fan has been a regular in the playoffs since he's joined. But I think this is the year the Browns take over, and I think the Jets and Prop make a push with, I mean, Dennis Lewis, Percy Harvin, Eric Decker, C.J. Anderson, I can't remember the other running back, but Bernard Pierce, but they have a lot of talent on offense, and I think Prop always plays good defense. I think this is the year the Patriots missed the playoffs, and, you know, the other two teams,
wow,
the Bills and the Jets, move up.
I think that'll be the first year he would ever miss the playoffs in the CFL if that actually happens. All right, at four, we have the Carolina Panthers, Dr. Strange. The defense is better and cheesier than ever this year. He says his whole front seven basically has 99 block shed. They all act like they got 99 play rec and awareness. You got that McCord, the rookie last year, about 10 user picks, got him a bunch of XP. Now he doesn't have to worry about using him all the time. And the offense is still good with Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, and Kelvin Benjamin, his rookie receiver. I don't remember his name that he drafted last year. So the Panthers sitting at four.
Listen, guys, he's going to be in cover three. You're looking at cover three. 8 times out of 10, you're looking at cover three. His user skills are top-notch, among the best in the league. I will give him that. But, you know, Strange is always going to be in the mix. He has Madden's favorite player. Cam Newton is a superhero. He could be pound-for-pound the best player in the CFL. And they did really, really well drafting last season. The Judge, McClure, like you mentioned, even Pendleton is really good. So they'll be around for the duration, just like the Packers, and just like the Seahawks, and just like the Browns and the Patriots. So we'll see what happens with them this year. And if they can, you know, get to the Super Bowl, they've always been in contention.
All right. Top three. At three, we have the Seattle Seahawks, still loaded. Not much change on that team. I don't even know if he had many early picks. The computer auto-picked him Brohan, a superstar development tight end. So that's all fine and dandy there. Just give the 99 overall team more players. As a side note, I was playing a test CFM, testing out how you can fucking get your player to react on a user pick with UD today. And I was playing man-to-man without doing any adjustments, no shading or nothing, and having UD run corner routes all day long against me, and these fucking linebackers jumped every single pass. They did not get beat on one corner route. I would love to have that happen. I would love to play with that team. At two, we have the Baltimore Ravens, who lost to our number one team, the New York Giants, in the Super Bowl last year. Both are great teams. Not much changeover on these teams that would make you think that anything else will happen than them finishing near the top five or six in overall record by the end of the year and competing again for an appearance in the Super Bowl.
Everyone knows I've been gone for a while, and I think the most fantastic turn of events since I've came back is the elevation of the Ravens. The running back by committee, which, I mean, I never said anything, but since I've seen it, I didn't think it was going to work out. It worked out great. His two running backs are phenomenal. I mean, Kajon Barner is like a baby Darren Sproles. London Carr with a full offseason. You got two game-breaking starting wide receivers, Torrey Smith and Carr. Their 4-3 look fits the personnel to perfection. I think they're the AFC favorites. And as long as, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over or do anything, you know, self-destructive, he'll be in the mix, and I think he's my pick for the Super Bowl and the AFC, for the AFC.
All right, so with that, our early Super Bowl picks. Right now, I mean, I didn't even know who to pick. I tried to pick somebody that wouldn't repeat or that hasn't won before, but I still have the New York Giants making the Super Bowl again. losing to the New England Patriots, who you have not making the playoffs. I've got Pat Fan getting his first CFL title this year. And my it was a toss. I think we're gonna have an AFC East Conference Championship game between the Patriots and the Bills, and I picked the Patriots to win it all.
Now, earlier I said I had a little rant about the Giants. Now, normally you get credit for winning, especially winning back-to-back, but I'm not sold on the Giants at all. He had it so easy. His road to the playoffs was so easy. The chances of a three-peat is absolutely zero. I mean, this is a team with 490 overall players, a shaky run game, shaky linebackers, really good press corners, elite press corners. I mean, LOB-level press corners. But he turns the ball over, and, I mean, I'll do everything in my power to hold up my end in the NFC East, but I'm not a believer yet, and, you know, I'll prove it when we play. That's all I got to say about Cody.
Shots fired.
It's back-to-back.
Shots fired out here. Max Castillo, Mariota. All right, we're about 4 minutes from advancing to the regular season, and we about to mean – Rookies and his girlfriend, fiance, just pre-ejaculated all over everybody's face. No fucking opening night game now. It's very sad. I'm trying to get Dr. Strange to put his big boy pants on and play me right now because I'm about to be up all night on 1 hour of sleep tomorrow because my water heater broke. I didn't replace it yet. About to take this 3-degree shower in the morning, so all I need is about 1 hour of sleep. I'm going to be wide awake. Anybody got their team that they're playing against online right now and can play? I know VGP is thirsty, but I doubt that's happening.
Yeah, hopefully if Endzone is on, I'll play him. You know, whenever he can play immediately, I'm good to play. So you might be seeing Max, Super Max, and Chip Kelly.
Who you got at your team this year that did not make the playoffs last year, other than yourself, that you think will make it this season?
UD. Easy decision. I think he, with him, it's either, clearly I think the only decision he has to make is Jackson Neal, 6'8", Osweiler, or 5'10", Jackson Neal. Because they have all the pieces on both sides of the ball, but, you know, the most important position is the only one that's yet to be decided. So I think if he makes that decision, he plays good with either or, I think he could easily be in the playoffs over a lot of other teams.
I'm going to go full retard with this pick and pick Mayor AWOL to make the playoffs this year and play a full season in the CFL because his team's loaded. He knows how to play defense when he actually is playing games.
I got to call a violation because I don't think that is, you know, full retard because he has a really, really good team. And the only thing that's stopping him from making the playoffs or being in contention to make the playoffs is him actually showing up. So I don't think that's really – I don't think that's going on with him, Quasi.
Shit. I was about to pick Adelfish too. But, you know.
That's going out on a limb.
I don't know, dude. That fucking team that he drafted last year and then bailed on, dude, that team, that middle linebacker – my goodness. But anyways, that's the show. We'll be back next weekend with some more. I hope we have a great first 3 weeks of the season from now until then. And hopefully somebody plays a damn game in the next half hour or so, man. I'm about to get on this 2K then. Until then, we out.
Moment of silence for the champions, for those who make going hard a lifestyle. Right. Never wait for nothing, gotta get it right now. Right now. I'm in the spotlight when they turn the lights down. Right. Only a champ swing the hardest in the 12th round. I love the fourth quarter, yeah. I love the ninth inning. I love game seven, yeah. Bring on the competition. Cause in my heart, can't nobody do it better. Can't slow me down, won't stop me, never. I'm so cashed. In the prime, you know.
the buzzer, baby. My stroke is holding one.